beautiful morning in sunny Ohio. High of 80 today, 80 tomorrow. Mike's birthday. That Mike, back there. What Mike? That Mike. Yeah, 29th. Psalm 34, verse 8, it says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Can you say that the Lord is good? Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Now, that man means male and female, okay? So we are blessed in any of us who trust in the Lord are blessed in him. Let's stand and let's pray and let's worship. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we're going to taste and see that the Lord is good even today. Lord, we're here to glorify you. We're here to praise you. We're here to love you, show our affection for all that you've done for us. We thank you for the finished work of the cross. We thank you for everything that you provide for us, Lord. Our rest, our peace, our hope, our joy. Lord, we're here to magnify you and glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's worship.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may
This is how I fight my battles. And this is how I fight my battles. And this is how I fight my battles. Hey.
Give me look.
Give me look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. May look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
One more time.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. 'Cause this is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight. My battles. Hey, 'cause this is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. I'm surrounded by you. It may
we're standing in your love, Jesus. 'Cause when darkness tries to roll over my bones, and sorrow comes to steal the joy I own, and brokenness and pain is all I know,
power in your name.
stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your
singing, you are
'cause you deserve the highest praise. Holy is your name, forever singing. You are worthy. You are high and lifted up. Christ the risen Son, forever singing.
Bowing down, describe.
forever singing, you are worthy.
Get up and praise the Lord.
Jesus spoke to us very clearly in John chapter 6, verse 48. He said a few words to us. He said, I am the bread of life. Amen? That's who Jesus is, the bread of life. And I don't know about you, but I like being around life. I know there's a lot of people celebrating death these days and Halloween and crazy things, but I'm sorry, I'm not in. I'm in the life part. I'm here to celebrate life, because God is all about life. And he's the bread of life that came down from heaven, he said, and anyone eats this bread, and he will live forever. When you eat this bread, you will live forever. That's good news. You can say that. You can confess it. I will live forever because of Jesus Christ, because I eat the bread of life. Amen? I eat the bread of life. And Jesus said on the night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread, he broke it, he blessed it, and he said to each of us here today, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's eat together.
So I'll throw up my hands, praise you again and again. So that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, nothing else fit for a king, except for a
he also took the cup which you hold in your hand. And after supper, he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes again. Let's proclaim together. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Thank you. Let's turn in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 14. I'm reading out of the New King James Version today, all day, no Amplified. And verses 14 through 16, Ephesians 4, 14 through 16. Some interesting words that Apostle Paul wrote to us in this book about things that happen around us, giving us words of exhortation and telling us good news, amen? But he says this in verse 14, that we should no longer be children, after we learned last week that the apostles and prophets, pastors and teachers and evangelists were given to us for the equipping of the saints. That's who we are. We're the saints. We're not the ain'ts. We're the saints. Amen? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, verse 12. But verse 14 says that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love, that's a great phrase, amen? Speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things, this is important, all things into him, into his likeness, who is the head, Christ. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So verse 14 tells us, don't be children in your thinking. Don't be infants of the faith. See, the original word there is neopos, which describes someone who is unacquainted with the word of righteousness. I mean, when you read your Bible, you're reading the word of righteousness, of what Christ did for us. If you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13, it says these words to us, Hebrews 5, 13. It says, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. He is a babe. And then if let's go back to Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, Hebrews 3:12, it says, beware, brethren, that's men and women, boys and girls, beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called what? Today. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Amen? Spiritual maturity is not measured in how many verses we quote or how many years of service we've put in with the Lord. Maturity is about being established in righteousness and standing firm in the grace of God. Let's look at what Peter says in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 12. 1 Peter 5, 12 says, by Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. That's the way we live. We live in the grace of God all day. We're not only saved by grace, we're sustained by grace. We live in grace all the time. God gives us exceedingly abundantly above anything that we can ask or think by the power of grace that's working in our lives. I don't know about you, but I need mercy every day. I need grace every day. Amen? And how many know we get that every day from God? It's just a gift. It's a part of knowing him and living within him, but standing firm in the grace of God. And he said in those words when we were in Ephesians there, chapter 4, he says, be careful about every wind of doctrine. That means there's a lot of doctrine floating around that could take you off the path of the living God. See, an immature believer is distracted and turned around by every new teaching or fad. You know, how many, a lot of fads can happen. We see a lot of new things happening right now. And you could hear many sermons and read many books and participate in many discussions, but because they are often changing directions, they make little progress. That's what I like about our Bible teacher that's at our church, Richard Stark's Bible study every second and fourth Saturday. He's in the Word of God expounding the Word to you. He's expounding, just like I am, verse by verse, and telling you about the deep meanings of the Greek, the deep meanings of the words that we're studying have strength. And if you're in the Bible, you can't run away to every wind of doctrine and fad and New Testament teaching. Amen? Or new teachings that are happening around us. And it says, if you go back with me to Ephesians chapter 4, there's a word in there that sometimes we don't see that I think is pretty powerful. In Ephesians 4, verse 16, there's a word there that sometimes we just skip over, but here's what it says. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. Look at this big word here. By the trickery. By the trickery. You see that? By the trickery of men. All right, that word, that original word trickery, is the word kubeo, kubia. And it means cube, as in a die, as in a grifter throwing loaded dice to take your money. Going to the place where they play dice, and they have a loaded dice that's always in their favor, and your money is always going off the table, and you're always losing. That's the trickery. That's what that word trickery means in the original Greek language. It's also talking about false teachers. May talk a good line, but their purpose is to enrich themselves by robbing you. So those people are around too. You have to be careful that you just don't run off to hear somebody's new doctrine that tickles your ears. Let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter gives us a warning too about this same way. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3 and then 13. But it says this: but there were also false prophets among the people. I mean, if you go to Acts chapter 20, it says that they come right into the body of Christ and try to tickle your ears and turn you away by trickery of their thoughts and their words to get you off the path. There were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the word who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destructions. Verse 2, and many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words, and for a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. And then verse 13 of the same chapter, and they will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you. They're among us. The wheat and the tares grow together, you know? And you got to be very discerning. Deceitful scheming, trickery, and cunning methods that distract you from what? The love of Christ. It's about the love of Jesus. It's about how much Jesus loves us. He cares about us. Amen? Again, the original word for scheming is methodia, the same word used to describe the devil's schemes in Ephesians 6:11. But let's go back to Ephesians 4. If you turn back there with me, Ephesians 4. Let's look at that verse, 6:11, since we're in Ephesians. It says in verse 6, verse 11, it says, put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles. Now, the wiles of the devil literally mean the scheming things of the devil. The scheming things of the devil. how he schemes against us. Now let's go back to Ephesians 4:15. Ephesians 4:15. It says, but speaking the truth in love. When we're speaking the truth of love and we're following God's word, we're refusing the lies of trickery. Amen? People, by speaking the truth. And if someone tells us we must perform and produce to please the Lord, we remind ourselves that we are dearly loved children already. He loves us already. Amen? He's already pleased with us because of the finished work of Christ. And if we hear that we need to work to make ourselves righteous and holy, we remind ourselves that the one with the Lord, we are righteous and holy as he is, because he made us that way. It's already done. So you can rest in the fact that it's finished. Amen? And whether we grow depends on what we hear. If we listen to every wind of doctrine taught by trickery of men, we'll remain spiritually immature. But if we receive the word of truth, we will mature in the Lord. To speak the truth is to reveal Jesus, because the truth is found in Jesus. Ephesians 4:21, same chapter. We haven't got there yet, and probably don't even know if we'll get there today. But it says in Ephesians 4:21, if indeed you have heard him, who's him, Christ, and have been taught by him, Christ, as the truth is in Jesus. I mean, that's his name really does separate just about everything. Now, you can talk about God to a lot of people, but when you start talking about Jesus, you start separating yourself from what they want to hear or what they want to think. But in love, we speak the truth to one another with gentleness and kindness, without being rude or arrogant. See, the truth can be as divisive as a sword and as harmful as a hammer, but the truth reveals the patient and hopeful love of God and helps the church to grow. Let me tell you how easy it is to grow in Christ. It's easy. He does the work. He's always working inside of you, always working inside of us to be complete people in Christ. If you go to the next book, our second book after Philippians, Colossians, and you go to chapter 1 verse 28, Colossians 1:28, it says these words to us. And this is the reason, if you want to know why we preach the truth to you, or why I preach the truth to you, why Rich preaches the truth to you, why Rick and other pastors who have been around, and Pastor Ernie, it says to them, verse 28, it says, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's in your spirit now. Amen? I mean, you're in the spirit, you're perfect. But the flesh is still working it out. But just as you can't make yourself taller, you can't make yourself more Christ-like. You can't make yourself taller. You can't make yourself more Christ-like. Growth is a natural process. Let's go to the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verse 26 through 29. It says to us, and he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed shall sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. Did you ever put a seed in the ground and wonder what's going to happen to it? It says, verse 28, for the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, and after the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 7. This is a good one for sure. It says, so then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. And that's sometimes hard for us when we're trying to cause people to change or grow or be more Christ-like, and we think we got to help them. You know, we got to let God do his job. We plant, somebody waters, but God gives the increase. See, growth is a natural process. The only thing you can do is hinder the process through poor diet, indulging the appetites of the flesh, and lack of exercise, and not walking in the new way of the Spirit. We grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ by allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal good things to us about Jesus. That's in 2 Peter 3:18. We grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as we feast on the love and kindness of God, we become more loving and kind. You know, that's really important, that we show the kindness of God wherever we go. Whether you're at the grocery store, whether you're at the bank, you know, wherever you're at the gas pump, you're showing kindness. And as we spend more time conversing with the Lord, we begin to talk more like him. And as we feed on Christ, we become more Christ-like. And we grow up in all aspects, allowing every part of your life to become enfolded in the person of Jesus Christ, the head. Jesus Christ is the head of his body, the church. We see that in Ephesians 5:23 and in Colossians 1:18. And to grow up into the head is to grow up in Christ and bring our thinking into line with what the Lord says. The whole body of Christ, which is the church. This is all in the book of Ephesians. The church is God's new creation birthing center. It is the place where sinners become saints, where thieves become givers, and where haters become lovers. They're fitted together. The original verb in Greek is synergologio, is a compound word that means close, joined together, while held together, means forced together or tightly fitting. You have not been stuck onto the body of Christ like an appendage. You have been perfectly and neatly fitted in the very place God wants you to be. Perfectly fitted where God wants you to be. What every joint supplies, the whole body relies on every joint, and the proper working of individual part is to enjoy a healthy supply of the present life. We pray, Lord Jesus, for whoever needs that rescue, amen? We pray you touch them. That's what's nice about having, you're on the main thoroughfare affair if you're going to the freeway. We get to pray a lot for the people who are in trouble. Amen. But how many know it's important that every joint works? Do you ever realize how important it is for every, even your little finger, sometimes your little toe, all of the joints in your body, how important they are? That everything bends and everything works and everything supplies. It's the same way in the body of Christ. All of us are important. Not just one person. All of us are important. And it causes the growth of the body. The Spirit of Christ works through the members of his body to nourish and bring us to maturity. Ephesians 5:29, that's growth. And for the body to grow, every part needs to be healthy. Amen? How many of it needs to be healthy? For the church to properly function, every believer needs to be equipped for the ministry in an area where they have been gifted. I would say we have some gift to praise and worship people. Amen? I'm glad they're gifted, and because if I had to come up there and do something, you'd be praying for me. But the church will never reach its full stature as long as ministry is seen as a place of a select few, or if some are hindered in exercising their God-given gifts. God makes room for each of us in the body of Christ to effectively use our gifts for one another. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's read 17 through 19 now. It says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated." Big words right there. You can circle that word if you circle or if you mark your Bible. "Being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them, because of the blindness of their heart." And verse 19, "Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, and the work of all uncleanliness with greediness. Some big words there, but it's some words of truth there. Amen. God's speaking to us about what he's doing in us. But he says in verse 17, we just read, walk no longer as Gentiles to walk after their old ways of the flesh. Instead, walk in the newness, the new way of the Spirit. Learn to live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit and listen to the Spirit. Allow him to work in your lives and to direct your lives and to tell you what you should be doing and not be doing. If you lived in, they'd said if you lived in Colombia, South America, you would, and especially if you're a preacher, if you're not walking in the Spirit, you'll probably be dead within a week. Because the Spirit has to tell you which way to go. Most of us just walk by the seat of our pants in America. You know, we just get up and jump in the car and go wherever we want to go, do whatever we want to do based on what our decisions are, not on what, we're never even praying to ask the Holy Spirit what he thinks we should do. I mean, I know you should get up and go to work because you got to pay your bills. But maybe the Lord wants you to take a different route. Maybe if you're traveling down 90, he might want you to take 480 in the morning just to absorb, you know, maybe to avoid an accident on 90. Or you'll just, then you'll say, oh, maybe I should start taking 480 regular. I'm going to go 480 for a while. And then you'll get on 480 and he'll say, it's time to go to back to I-90. If you're listening, amen. I know it's happened to me a lot of times that way. But it describes the minds of those who are without God and lacking the Holy Spirit, these verses. The God of this world blinds, it says, the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says this to us. 2 Corinthians 4, 4. It says, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Their minds are blinded by the God of this age. Who's the God of this age? The devil. Amen? I mean, the devil does not exist in the kingdom of God where we are. Does not exist in the kingdom. But he does exist outside of the kingdom. And sometimes we're in a world, but not of the world, but we're in the world where he exists. Because we have to do commerce. We have to live. And so we have to be on guard. We have to be have the full armor of God on. We have to be ready at all times. And we have to walk in the Spirit and live by the Spirit and be directed by the Spirit at all times. So Jesus commissions us to open unbelieving eyes so that they might be delivered from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God. Let's go to Acts chapter 26. Acts 26. Acts 26, verse 18. It says, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. All you got to do is drive around your neighborhood and you'll see who you need to be witnessing to, especially around Halloween. Somebody got a bunch of dead bodies hanging outside and graves and skeletons that is 20 feet tall in the air, and their whole house is lit up for Halloween. I would be talking to them people about to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light. Amen? From the power. I tell people all the time, the only ghost at my house during Halloween is the Holy Ghost. I have a ghost at my house on Halloween, but he's the Holy Ghost. He's not your ghost. Amen. And then I told you about that word in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. Let's go back there. Ephesians 4, 18. The big word, circle. Being alienated. The word alienated is excluded. The original word is A-P-A-L-L-O-T-R-I-O-O, and it means to be shut out from fellowship and intimacy. And you can read that in the Thayer's Greek lexicon, or the Strong's lexicon, but the natural or unregenerated person is disconnected from the life of God. And so you can't get mad at people who are in darkness. They don't know any better. They need to see the light. They have to have their eyes open so they can go from darkness to light. Amen? Because the natural, unregenerated person is disconnected from the life of God. In contrast, the Christian lives from their spiritual union with the Lord. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. 1 John 1, 3, he says, "That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you may also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." See, the life of God, the divine life that flows from our fellowship or union with the Lord, is a life that is different than most people have in this world. Do you realize you're different? That you're different from the people around you sometimes. And they can't understand who you are because they don't understand the light. But the life of God is eternal, powerful, peaceable, and free from the bondage to sin. I mean, we've been set free from sin. We've been set free to be righteous and holy, automatic, to have a holy life. And it's because of the blindness or the ignorance of their heart. Because humanity was put on death row on account of Adam's sin, but Jesus smashed the prison gates, making it possible for us to be free. Yet some, out of ignorance and unbelief, prefer to remain in captivity because of the hardness of their heart. People are not excluded from the life of God on account of sin, but their own stubborn unbelief. They refuse to believe. John 6. It says, I'm going to start in verse 26. And this is, they're asking Jesus questions. And he says, Jesus answered them and he said, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Because I filled your belly, you like me." That's what he was saying. "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life." John 6, 26, 27. "Which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." Verse 28. So they finally speak up. "Then they said to him, 'What shall we do?'" Man, we live in the doo-doo world. We live in the doo-doo world. How many know what doo-doo is? But we live in the doo-doo. What do we have to do? "What must we do that we may work the works of God?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Christ." That you believe in Christ whom I sent. Believe in Jesus. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through him. There's no other way. Acts 4:12 says there's no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. No other name. So you have to just do it his way. Amen? But by shutting their eyes to the witness, I mean, people can just, I don't know about you, but I can see God in the witness of creation. When I see a red cardinal, I always see a female cardinal right there, male and female, right there together all the time. I never see the male red cardinal feeding another male red cardinal. He's always feeding the female. So, by shutting their eyes to the witness of creation and closing their ears to the call of the gospel, they have hardened their hearts to the goodness of God. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 and 21, it says these words to us, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Amen. You learn Christ if indeed you've heard him. Apostle Paul does not assume that everyone who reads his letter that he is writing to the Ephesians Christians, who are a very large church of 25,000 under the leadership of Timothy, he doesn't assume that everybody who reads this letter is a believer. He anticipates there may be some reading Ephesians who have never responded to the call of the gospel, heard him. We did not come to Christ because you heard about him. No, you heard him. The reason you accepted Christ is because you heard him. You don't believe me? I'll give you a scripture. You know I'm good at giving you good scriptures. John chapter 10, verse 27. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. See, though through the gospel you heard the Lord calling and you came. That's how you accepted Jesus. That's why you accepted Jesus. In our hearts, we receive the message of truth. Truth is found in Jesus. Truth is not man-made. Truth is in Jesus, which is to say that Jesus is the measure of all things, and by all things, by him, all things are known. Let me give you those scriptures. 1 Corinthians 8:6. 1 Corinthians 8:6. And yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we before him, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. That's who we live and why we live. And then Colossians 1:16. Colossians 1:16. It says, for by him, Jesus, that's Jesus, the him there is Jesus. For by Jesus, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him, Jesus, and for him, Jesus. If you want to know the truth about yourself, the world, and the meaning of life, you'll find it in Jesus. Did you know that? It's in Jesus. But you know what's sad? There are many people who do not believe that. They don't believe it. They don't look for Jesus. They don't look for answers to the world in Jesus or in their Bibles. They look to the world, to the philosophers, to the college professors of our world, who are what we just talked about, deceitfully destroying the minds of people by what they say, by what they speak. But if you go to John chapter 8, verse 32, it says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, that truth is in Jesus. Jesus frees us from the illusions of this flawed and deceptive world. I mean, our world is very flawed, very deceptive. You could be educated and still not ever find the truth, because the truth is Jesus. It's not a doctrine. It's a person. Grace is not a doctrine. It's not an ideology. Grace is Jesus. What the world needs is Jesus. It's Jesus that'll set them free, because truth is found in Jesus and Jesus alone. Thank you.
want to remind us what a gift we have in the Holy Spirit. How we need to be led by the Spirit in these days. I asked Mike to give out the testimony he shared with me today about a man at McDonald's who hadn't been there in 20 years, but I believe was led by the Spirit. It reminds me of when my mother was in rehab and we weren't allowed to see her, but I would pray specifically and say, Lord, let them treat her just like she's a queen. Send the right people. Don't let, because she had alcoholism, don't let them treat her like somebody on the side of the road. Lord, send her someone who will bring the gospel that would confirm what she's already heard from me. You know, when she got out of rehab, sounded just like you. She told me the same thing you've been telling me about Jesus. Pray specifically, beloved. Be led by the Spirit in all that you do. Amen.
So there was this man who was in a big hurry, and he hadn't been to a McDonald's in 20 years, hasn't had not even one French fry from a McDonald's in 20 years. He says, I have to stop and eat here at this McDonald's. So he goes in and he gives his order. He didn't go through the drive-thru. He went into the restaurant. He stood in front of a young black man, young boy, and he says, I need blah, 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 blah. I have to eat and I have to run. I have to go. I'm in a hurry. And as he was being served by the man, the young man, he saw his wrists were all cut up from knives. He saw his wrists like a cutting, like he was trying to kill himself. And the man who was buying the hamburgers and the French fries started to cry, started weeping. The Holy Spirit had him weep. And so when he went and got the order and came back and the man was weeping, he asked him why he was weeping. And he said, because I want you to know that God loves you and that he doesn't want you to end your life. He wants to give you peace. And he says, so he took his food and he went and sat in his car for about 5 minutes and ate his food. And the young man came outside and said, I want to hear more about this God who wants to give me peace and give me a new life. And the boy was there with him for about 10 minutes, and he accepted Christ as his personal Savior. And that week, he gave him his phone number. He gave his phone number and everything to his family. And the man went to the house, his parents, his house, ministered to him, ministered to his mother, and all of his siblings, and they all gave their life to Christ. The whole family was saved that day because of a man who listened to say, I have to stop at McDonald's and eat today. And even though he knew it wasn't good for him or whatever, he still went and did it because the Holy Spirit led him to do it.
They just don't know. We have to tell them. Amen. We have to tell them, beloved, be led by the Spirit. You know, it's so incredible when we come to Christ. Without Christ, we have no power over sin. We can get mad at people, thinking, why are you doing such a stupid thing? But I'm telling you, they just don't know. They don't have power over sin. But in Christ, we know that our sins were all annihilated, put on the cross. And what's greater than that is we now have power over sin. Goodness, our eyes opened to see the light, to see the truth. Jesus. young man or that woman free. He's a good, good father. Amen. Do you want to share something, sir?
I don't know your name. I'm sorry.
Eric is my name. Yes. And I want to thank my brother and his neighbor for inviting me here today. And I want to back off what you just said. This might be our last day on earth. And what she said, a lot of us may be living on borrowed time already. And I want to thank, like I said, my brother again for bringing me here. I stay at the City Mission, and that's where I'll be for the next 6 to 9 months in this program. And all they do is eat, sleep, and breathe Jesus Christ in there.
Father, thank you so much for your witness to us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, just keep speaking to us and teaching us and showing us the way. Guide our hands, guide our lives, guide our steps, guide our decisions, that we would make good decisions for you. And I thank you for Eric and his testimony. Lord, I pray that you would guide him. And I pray for Derek, Lord, and I thank you even for Jeanette for bringing them here. And I ask you, Lord, to bless them richly, and thank you for your goodness. Bless Mark today, bless Jack, bless Reggie, bless Stormy, bless Sarah Taylor. Lord, we ask you to bless, and we ask you to touch even Rachel, Lord. Tell it, we pray for her, Lord. We pray for her as well. And thank you for all that you're doing. And I ask you to bless Karen and her family. Lord, we thank you for them as well. We ask you to bless them in Jesus' name. We pray. We give you all the glory, the praise, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.